Hey Josh, man, this is a great place you got going on here. I love it.
Thanks, but it's not really a place. It's more of a
Shalicto. Do do doc doc popular. Yo yo.
Wiki wiki.
Yo yo. Wiki wiki.
Yo yo.
Wiki wiki.
Yo yo.
Wiki wiki.
Yo yo radio.
Yo yo radio. Yo yo radio.
Wiki wiki. Yo yo wiki wiki. Wiki wiki. Yo yo wiki 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 wiki. Yo yo wiki wiki radio podcast
on yo yo radio.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is Yo Yo Wiki Podcast. I am Dr. Popular, back from my year-long tour of the Bahamas and Belgium, and with me as usual is our rock here at Yo Yo Wiki Podcast, our pillar, our Golden Gate Bridge, Josh Schlichto.
That is right,
Parker.
Josh Parker. Thank you for that great introduction, Dr. Popular.
I can redo that Parker thing, or you can edit it in.
I'll edit it in post.
Josh,
you know
Parker.
What? I'm not going to edit it in post.
No.
No.
You're going to edit it in real time. So you're very excited about Transformers the movie, huh? Did you get that tattoo yet?
I get the tattoo that says I am very excited about Transformers the movie.
Yeah, either you were thinking about either getting that in a pink lettering, as I recall, or getting I hate the Transformers movie trailer in like kind of a archive. I was just wondering which one you went with.
It's the pink. I'm excited about the Transformer, you know, and I got it translated into Autobot language, so that's pretty cool. It's in binary.
It's in binary.
Yeah.
That must be very big then.
Takes up most of my back.
Okay. So last week you did the show with a couple people. Obviously, I've been gone. I've been traveling the West Coast doing nerdcore hip hop, and you guys talked about the new contest rules for nationals. Do you want to fill me in on kind of what happened? I want to hear. Maybe if you can sum up the new rules for the contest.
Well, it's just nationals, single A. If you want to compete in the single A division at nationals, you have to place top five at a regional contest.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. And what I mean was everybody on the show. You had Abe Zymir, and John Bott, both of whom are. This pretty much non-existent team called Team Chubby Lovin'. So they were on, and Steve was on. And I have to imagine that Abe and John were probably not for the rules, or
didn't talk to them about the rules.
Ah.
More talk to them about drunken fighting.
Okay, all right, yeah. So things that are more important to them. So you had Steve on, you talked to it. And I know that Steve is not really... He likes the rules. He likes the direction that Yo-Yo is going, and I guess the theory is that it's we're trying to make Yo-Yoing more like kind of like an Olympic sport or like NASCAR driving or whatever, where you can't just show up one day and win a contest, right?
Yeah. It just makes sense. If we actually have these contests, it just makes sense for there to be some seeding and stuff like that involved with them.
Well, I do like the idea of the seeding, like getting a seed into nationals without freestyle or whatever. But I have to say that the big difference between yo-yoing and NASCAR or any of the other things that have these same rules is that professional yo-yoers don't do this for a living, and they're not flown out to regionals often by any teams. So if somebody can only afford to go to one contest, or if somebody can't afford to take time off because they have to, you know, do a school exam or something like that, instead of making it to the regional. I hate for that to affect their national thing. So that's my biggest concern, is that I just think that, you know, as soon as we get to the point where we're paying people, you know, a year's salary or even, you know, and, you know, just even if teams are just paying for people to go out to the regionals, if they're sponsored or whatever, then I think that this is not that big a deal. But
That is the greater discussion, though, isn't it? It's monetizing this to a point where teams can't afford to do things like that. So does it start, do we get the money first and then set up the seeding, or does the seeding lead to legitimacy which leads to getting it on TV and sponsors outside of the world of yo-yoing and stuff like that, and that's where the money comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the latter. I think you have to legitimize it in order to get it on TV, and if we can get it on TV legitimately, then sponsors will be more willing to give money, you know. Because right now, I mean, the yo-yo community is great at supporting itself with more yo-yos, but really until we get, like, Gillette to sponsor, you know, or something along those lines, there's not going to be as much money in as there should be. You know, I use the example of bowling, which is just such a weird thing to have bowling for millions. But, I mean, every single Saturday afternoon on TV, there's a bowling championship with, you know, a $100,000 prize. And it's bowling. No, this is yo-yoing. It's not too much different.
Well, taking those same examples that you were talking about, or even like the hot dog eating competitions or any of those, I don't think that they got on because they were legitimized. I think that they got on because they were paid to be on by some major sponsor, and then people started buying in with, you know, like, becoming other sponsors for like the $1 million bowling thing or something like that. I think that it started off with, you know, a company paying for the bowling to get on, and then at which point, other sponsors got on. So in that sense, in the sense of the Gillette and the Pepto-Bismos and all the other companies that pretty much single-handedly put those things on, it wasn't legitimacy first and then TV. It was. I mean, they've been around, so some of them were legitimate. Mm-hmm. Although the hot dog eating championship is not a national or regional sport or anything like that. It's just, you know, Pepto-Bismo decided to sponsor one thing and right. Got it on. So in those cases, It seems like we're not really. I mean, like that wouldn't really happen. That all that we're doing is waiting for some company to decide that they can pay for the thing to get on, as opposed to, you know, legitimacy leading to us getting on TV.
Yeah,
but that's a cynical view, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know. And you know, another question along that is yo-yoing a sport? What do you think about that, Doc?
Yeah, I think yo-yoing is a sport, but I don't think that it's sports have to be, regulated heavily. Like, I think I can go play sports. You know, I can do softball, and I don't have to be part of a national league. I can be part of just a local team that plays other local teams.
Sure. I think, I mean, the yo-yo contest is American as apple pie. You know, dates back to like the 1920s. I mean, that's older than the NFL. You know, that's I don't know how far back football goes, but it's got to be just as far back. We've been doing yo-yo contests for years. There's no doubt that yo-yoing's a sport. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did Stevie Weeby bring up any excellent points?
Said that from the judging standpoint, which is the way he looks at it, he thinks it's going to be a lot more stressful. Because it's going to be nothing but the finest competitors. And I personally think it'll, to a point, make it a lot easier because you don't have anybody, you don't have 100 competitors on stage that do not deserve to be there, that you have to watch.
Watching like the last couple of years, I didn't really see a lot of people up there that weren't, you know, like terrible, that are just like wandered off stage or wandered on the stage. But there was probably some that were like in a different category than others. You know, one thing that I like, this is not nationals related, but, you know, I used to be a proponent for 4-minute freestyles, but actually, I'm really starting to like the idea of 2-minute freestyles, 1-minute prelims and then 2-minute final, freestyles. It just seems that a lot of the contests that we watch, after 2 minutes, people start getting redundant anyway. Very few people have 3 minutes of totally original, never repeating like the same mount or something like that trick. Especially like, I mean, some of the top scorers like Mark Montgomery and quite a few others get quite redundant, I think. So I like the 2-minute freestyles. It seems like that would help not nationals, but just in general. I hope that that's for the next contest that we do out here. I'd like to try that out and see if it works.
All right. I'm not keen on it initially, but interesting.
It'll keep things moving faster. It'll keep things more interesting for the crowd, and it'll make people bring their best. The best tricks, no little filler or whatever, hopefully.
Yeah, sure thing.
So so I just got back from a long tour, Josh.
Yeah, the mediocre tour. So did it live up to its name?
No. If it lived up to its name, the name would have been the Always Late and Having Difficulty Finding Places Tour. We actually called it the mediocre tour because our thought initially was that if we told people it was mediocre, there'd be nowhere to go but up, right? Like, we knew we wouldn't be awful, but if we told them, if we had the fantastic tour, then people would have these high expectations. So our thought was at least they'd feel like they got what they paid for, if not be impressed, right? But in retrospect, after about our third show, let me say that we were having terrible difficulties with every single thing, not during the shows as much, but just like, okay, I get to Portland and I realize I forgot my laptop battery.
Yeah.
Laptop power cord for my laptop.
Ooh.
Which is pretty essential. I'm about to start this tour and I don't have it. Plus I'm still trying to promote and still trying to plan for places to play, stay and stuff like that while we're on tour. So that was kind of disastrous. And then Router arrived to Portland right after me. And she had to go to the emergency room. So we're short of a power cord. We're in the emergency room for about 3 hours when we're supposed to go straight from Portland to our show. So we get to our show pretty late. And then even getting to the show was a nightmare. Beefy ran some lights. And there was one street that didn't exist, like shit that just didn't exist, that we had to figure out how to get around that. And we had that sort of thing was a redundant problem, like every show. We had these problems, and so we actually decided that by calling it the mediocre show, well, basically things are never going to go as well as you plan. So next time, if we were to do this again, we'll plan really high, so that when things get knocked down in terms of problems or whatever, they'll just be still really good. So we're gonna call ourselves the Always On Time and Perfectly Friendly Tour. hopefully we'll at least be not rude. And somewhat on time, but so the tour was good. The one thing I can say is that every show we did was not a crappy show. We might have had lots of troubles finding places, but when we got on stage, there was absolutely no troubles at all. And there might have been tensions off the stage about a crummy promoter or a crappy sound guy, but when we were on stage, we just did everything the best that we could have, All the shows were just really phenomenal. It was like the best thing I'd ever done in my life, probably the coolest thing I'd ever done.
Yeah, you mentioned that it's probably one of the best shows you've ever put on, and you've been performing for 15 years.
Mm-hmm. And I haven't been I've been rapping for like 10 years, but not I didn't do my first rap show until Vegas earlier this year.
Right.
And so I did two shows before the tour started. And by the time started, I already feeling much better than those first two shows. And then by the end of the tour, I mean, within a couple shows, I felt like I was as good as Beefy or Router. So a lot of people were coming to maybe see one of them, like maybe see Router because she's on Boing Boing a lot, or Beefy has a big fan base and he's got a huge, dirge of material, but I felt that at the end of the show, people liked all of us just as much, even though they never maybe heard of me or I don't have tattoos that are really boss, like
yeah.
Router does. I felt pretty good about it. Our San Francisco show was our last show, and it was a last-minute show, but we managed to get a lot of people in, even though it was last minute. But it was in a theater, and even though there weren't chairs or anything, people just sat like they somehow knew it was a theater. And so that was kind of weird. Like, it felt like a good show. It felt like we were doing well and it sounded well, but the energy from the crowd wasn't all that high.
Okay.
Just kind of weird. One more thing in LA, you know, in Chico, I saw Rob Reeves, and that was about the only yo-yoer I saw on the tour until we got to L.A., at which point I saw Mark McBride, who made out with Router, and that was hella weird.
Whoa.
Yes, hella weird. As we were leaving, you know, like saying goodbye to everybody, Router had like been talking to Bride whenever I was around. Basically, I was talking to Bride, and Router was just kind of standing there quietly or whatever. And so Router goes, "What's your name?" You know, "Bride." "Oh, it's nice meeting you." And he, you know, they shook hands or whatever. And she said, "Well, okay, I'll see you later." And then he goes, "Well, you want to make out or something?" And they made out for like 5 minutes.
Wow.
It was like the 5 minutes that were like all in the car packed up, you know. So we're all just like kind of uncomfortably waiting, like, what the fuck? Oh my god.
Well, that's really awkward.
Yeah, it was kind of gross, because I like McBride a lot. He's like a grandpa to me. He's like a big influence to me on how I create and work with groups and stuff. Like I made a video with him for Yo-Yo Jam that early on kind of taught me about like good ways to kind of write with people and all that stuff. And I have high respect, and all that time I've never seen him like make out with a girl or anything like that. And here he goes and hits on this girl that I'm like dying to get out of the car, you know, like, oh my God, how much more of this tour? Oh, I can't wait to get home and away from, you know, like, cause Router's awesome, but she got crazy drunk every night, and I was like a babysitter. And, so it was weird. Probably told you too much information there.
Excellent. So what do we got? Oh, you know what we haven't done yet?
Yes.
Name that yo-yo.
Name that yo-yo.
Do you have a yo-yo?
No.
I've got one.
Well, I mean, I've got lots of yo-yos. The same four I always have.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and throw one here. It's going to be a tricky one, I think. But I think you might get it.
Okay. All right. All right. Does it have a tangle now?
Nope.
Okay. It's just really responsive.
Yep.
Well, we've done Raiders. It sounds like a plastic Starburst yo-yo. It sounds like a mass manufactured. It's definitely not a Fast or any of the Yo-Yo Factory yo-yos. It does sound like a thinner yo-yo, though. I mean, I totally could be wrong. When you first threw it, I thought Zanavi, and then you started hitting it, and then I was like, no, that's not the Zanavi body. And then as I hear the string wearing more, I start to hear more of a Starburst. So Raider, I'll say a Saber Raider.
It is not a Saber Raider.
Am I close on any of that? Starburst,
definitely. Plastic.
Plastic.
Mass produced. Not thin.
Okay, all right. So let's hear your...
It's a... It's a Midwest Regionals contest yo-yo.
Is it Yomega made?
It is not Yomega made.
You know, I think we all... Oh, Dragon Jam.
Oh, close. It's a Pro Jam.
Pro Jam. Poop. Remember those red Dragon Jams we had for Midwest Regionals?
No.
Chi-Chi Freak did the artwork for him, the cool MWR slide, and it was a gold foil print. And I think we might have had some other yo-yos that Yo-Yo Jam made other than the... I mean, we mostly ordered like 50 Dragon Jams like that, but we also got like a few special yo-yos, like looping yo-yos or something, like ninjas or something. You remember the ninjas?
Yes.
Yeah, so the ninjas were the first hybrid looping yo-yo. With a thin body, really super flat on the inside, and they were metal weight ringed yo-yos, like hybrid, like Hitman style yo-yos, except they were thin.
But they weren't hybrid response. That's not what you mean.
No, No, not hybrid response. They're hybrid body yo-yos. Yeah. Plastic with metal.
Yeah, they were terrible.
Speaking of terrible, can I tell you some of the puns that were exchanged recently?
Okay.
These are things that just popped into my mind. This morning, my friend Meredith and I were hanging out at 826 Valencia.
Meredith, I know Meredith.
Yeah. Well, she and I volunteer to draw for little kids and stuff at 826 Valencia here in San Francisco. And she was telling me this apparently in like Sweden, maybe in Switzerland, scientists have cloned a sheep, human hybrid. It's like 15% human.
Yikes.
And when she said it, just the way she said it, it was just one of those things that sounded like there was a joke. So she was like, "Hey, did you hear about the cloned sheep human hybrid?" I'm like, "No." And I'm just like waiting. Like a joke. It's just like one of those things you're just kind of waiting, and then she's like, "Oh yeah, well, it's on the news." And I'm like, "That's not funny." And so I decided a better pun would have been, they predicted in the future it'll be a great source of sheep labor. Sheep labor.
Yeah. Okay. Sheep labor. I get it.
Bad. Good.
Yeah. That's pretty bad.
And the other one, Router was in the hospital. Like I said, MC Router. She was really close to losing hearing on one ear when she got out of the plane, and she was talking about how bad that would be. And I'm like, "Yeah, that would be terrible. But if you only had hearing in one ear, you would have bad deaf perception."
Very, very bad.
Very bad.
All right.
Terribly bad.
Yeah.
So, you know, one other thing that you and I both need to hear. We haven't heard it yet, but on the newest episode of Joe Mickle's show, I forget what's the Yo-Yo Radio?
Yeah.
They had kind of guest host for the evening. Team Chubby Lovin', a Midwestern team, was kind of co-hosting, or actually, I guess, entirely hosting the show via a Midwestern Yo-Yo contest at Indiana States or something, I believe.
No, Maryland States.
Maryland States. So absolutely nothing to do with the Midwest.
Right.
Poop on the Midwest.
Yep.
So that's definitely worth checking out. I'm going to check that out right after I finish my novel.
And go back to school?
Yeah. Right after. definitely going to check that out. First, it's on the list.
Yep.
Here's the list right here, and it's high up on there.
Yeah, so they were on the... Team Chubby Lovin' Tour 2007, and so that was Abe, John, and Seth were all in a car, and they went to Steve's house, and that's when we talked to him, and they went to Takeshi's house, and made it out to Maryland States, and they were in New York, and I don't know, seems like they had a really cool time, and I'm excited to hear what they did on Yo-Yo's Coast to Coast. They probably tore it up. Lord knows Joe Mitchell doesn't.
He doesn't bring the fire.
He doesn't.
He doesn't. That's it. Nothing else.
Hear from him.
Well, Josh, do you have anything else that you wanted to talk about? You know, because I've got Sean Fumo's video that I want to watch now, his freestyle video, and I've got to
make sure you listen to the episode from last week too, episode 17.
Hey,
just put an offer in on a house. This is the second time I've done that, and we'll see how this one goes. Didn't get the last one. I don't know. I think that should that does it. What do you think?
That sounds good, man.
All right.
I've got a lot of catching up to do, so I will talk to you next week.
You got it.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.